The Harmonic Geometry of Existence is an ambitious attempt to do something that most books only gesture toward. To unify physics, biology, consciousness, weather, chemistry, and civilization under a single geometric logic. Ian Hills presents the book not as a collection of separate essays, but as a reconstruction. He says that 9 previously independent works have been rewritten into one continuous framework, and the purpose of that framework is to reveal a hidden architecture beneath all phenomena. The central claim is bold and consistent throughout. The universe is governed by one harmonic operator, and what we call physical law emerges from the geometry of curvature, rotation, boundary structure, and temporal rate. In this view, the familiar language of particles, forces, and fields is only a projection. The deeper reality is not a set of isolated mechanisms, but a coherent field of standing modes. From the beginning, the author insists that the key to the whole system is temporal relativity. This is the book's signature concept and the idea that links the entire structure together. Time, in Hills's framework, is not a universal background that ticks uniformly for everyone and everything. Instead, time is a local rate generated by geometry itself. Different systems, because they have different degrees of confinement, curvature, rotation, and boundary structure, experience different temporal rates. A particle, a cell, a brain, a planet, a star, and a galaxy all inhabit different temporal conditions. The world is therefore not made of objects moving through an external clock. It is made of coherent structures that generate their own pacing. Temporal relativity explains why structure exists, why motion behaves differently at different scales, why redshift occurs, why stability can persist, and why coherence matters. The author's formalism is expressed through an operator that combines curvature, rotational coherence, boundary geometry, and temporal rate. He treats the harmonic operator as the governing mechanism of the continuum, and he claims that major theories of classical physics appear as limiting cases of this deeper structure. Schrödinger's equation, Maxwell's equations, and the weak field limit of general relativity are all presented as partial projections of the same underlying operator. That is one of the book's recurring moves, to say that familiar theories are not wrong, but incomplete. They work because they capture a slice of the full geometry, yet they miss the common organizing principle. This becomes especially important in the book's treatment of cosmology. One of Hills's most provocative claims is that redshift should not be understood as evidence of metric expansion. Instead, redshift is interpreted as a difference in temporal rate between emitter and observer. In the book's notation, redshift is the ratio of local rates, not the stretch of space. That leads directly to the rejection of dark matter and dark energy as explanatory necessities. Rather than invisible substances, Hills proposes temporal gradients and harmonic structure. Galaxies rotate the way they do because of geometry in the temporal field, not because a hidden mass halo is holding them together. Lensing, large-scale structure, and rotation curves are all treated as consequences of the same operator-based geometry. In this model, the universe is not ballooning outward. It is resonating. Before moving into the more speculative domains, the book spends considerable time developing the logic of temporal rate across scales. Hills describes how the smallest scales are dominated by confinement, where atoms and particles are confined standing waves whose temporal rates are set by the tightness of their boundaries. At the molecular and biological levels, gradients and membranes begin to matter more. Cells regulate internal pacing through boundary structure, chemical potential, and charge gradients. At the human scale, the brain maintains temporal rhythm through oscillatory coherence across regions. At the planetary scale, rotation and curvature shape the temporal well of Earth itself, governing day, night, seasons, and circulation patterns. At the stellar scale, stars become deep temporal wells whose internal processes unfold at rates determined by curvature and rotational structure. At the galactic scale, spiral arms are reinterpreted as temporal structures, not merely material ones. And at the cosmic scale, the large-scale web of the universe becomes a geometry of evolving temporal rate. The point of this layered account is to show that time is always local, always structured, and always inseparable from the geometry of the system in question. From there, the book turns to electricity and magnetism, which are presented as two aspects of the same geometric process. Electricity is the temporal component, magnetism is the rotational component. Rather than treating electric fields as things that push charge around, Hills says they are expressions of rephasing in the subwave potential. A current is not primarily moving charge in the conventional sense, but a temporal modulation of the field. Voltage, in this account, emerges when a structure is forced to adjust its phase in response to a change in temporal rate. This is why induction becomes, in the author's telling, a temporal phenomenon, rather than merely an electromagnetic one. A transformer transfers temporal modulation, a generator creates temporal modulation through rotation. Magnetic fields are not separate entities produced by moving charge. They are the vorticity of the pacing field, the rotational expression of the same underlying toroidal mode. Magnetic field lines are described as projections of closed loops in the deeper geometry. Attraction and repulsion arise not from abstract force, but from rotational alignment or conflict between modes. This same logic is extended into chemistry, where the conventional picture of orbitals, bonds, and reactions is recast in geometric terms. Orbitals become standing wave geometries rather than probabilistic clouds. Chemical bonds are shared boundaries between curvature wells. Polarity is not charge separation, but curvature imbalance. Reactions are reconfigurations of curvature. Acidity and basicity are reframed as curvature transfer. Resonance becomes curvature delocalization, with aromaticity standing out as a particularly coherent loop of geometric stability. Even solubility is treated as a matter of geometric compatibility rather than simple polarity rules. Catalysis is described as the stabilization of an intermediate geometry that allows the system to move through a transition with less strain. Throughout this chapter, chemistry is no longer a catalog of substances and reactions. It becomes a study of how the harmonic operator permits stable and unstable configurations. The book's biological sections carry this logic further by arguing that life is not chemistry plus complexity, but coherence across multiple geometric scales. Biological systems are said to preserve and transmit curvature programs through membranes, gradients, metabolic cycles, and replication. The cell is presented as a temporal system that maintains an internal rate distinct from the outside world. Membranes are boundaries that create and preserve a biological interior. Ion gradients and electrical charge create pacing. Proteins, DNA, lipids, and metabolic pathways all become ways of maintaining coherence. The threshold of life is marked by the emergence of explicit curvature programs and by the ability of a system to regulate itself rather than simply react. Replication matters because it copies the harmonic program, allowing evolution to proceed through variation in geometry rather than random chemical accident. Life in this account is persistence of geometry against entropy. Viruses occupy a special and forceful place in this biology. Hills does not describe them as mere biochemical invaders. He calls them geometric disruptors, icosahedral agents that exploit curvature mismatch. Their shells are built from triangular curvature, which naturally closes into icosahedral symmetry. This makes the viral capsid a kind of optimal geometric container. The virus docks into cells because its geometry conflicts with the cell membrane's curvature program, causing local collapse and boundary failure. Its genome is interpreted as a curvature instruction set that hijacks cellular coherence. Replication is a geometric reassembly process, and immunity is geometric recognition. Antibodies neutralize by binding the shell and disturbing its symmetry. Viruses are not simply enemies in this framework. They are testing agents, exposing weaknesses in biological coherence and forcing evolutionary adaptation. The chapter on consciousness extends the same model inward. Consciousness is treated as a boundary mode, a coherent state, generated when curvature, rotation, boundary, and temporal rate align within a living system. The author argues that experience is not just brain activity, but the active expression of a harmonic structure. Consciousness is therefore not located in some separate realm above matter. It is an operator state that emerges when a system achieves a high degree of internal coherence. This is why the book repeatedly uses the language of resonance, alignment, and mode. Consciousness is a dynamic boundary phenomenon, and the self is framed as a mode that has stabilized enough to support awareness. Later reflections on knowledge, ethics, aesthetics, and experience all flow from this same intuition. To know is to align, to act ethically is to preserve coherence, and to perceive beauty is to recognize harmonic form. The most vivid and detailed part of the book, at least in its concrete observational power, is the meteorological section. Hills argues that the atmosphere is the clearest visible testbed for the harmonic operator. Weather is not treated as a neutral fluid, but as a geometric field in which curvature, rotation, charge, and temporal rate are directly visible. Tornadoes are toroidal loops. Supercells are vertically stacked harmonic machines with ascent, descent, and internal circulation. False streak holes are toroidal breaks. Mammatus clouds are potential wells. Cirrus filaments trace electrodynamic pathways. Noctilucent clouds are dusty plasma braids. Lightning, sprites, blue jets, and elves are resonance modes. Hail reservoirs and levity shells are treated as structures that reduce effective gravitational load and support suspended charged matter. The author insists that classical meteorology flattens all of this into a fluid model that cannot account for three-dimensional toroidal structure, electrodynamic coupling. He emphasizes that the atmosphere is a weakly ionized, electrically active medium, not simply air in motion. Charged dust, aerosols, ice crystals, and plasma-like structures organize along electric fields and rotational pathways. This is why, in his account, the sky reveals coherent forms that the fluid model misses. The book is especially interested in the phenomenon of fall streak holes, where a circular opening appears in a cloud layer, often with a ring, acoustic effects, and a sense of sudden collapse. Hills interprets these as the failure of a toroidal, dusty plasma mode. He similarly treats mammatus lobes, noctilucent cloud waves, and even tornado cores as expressions of the same underlying electrodynamic architecture. From the atmosphere, the book moves to astrophysics and gravity. Here the author is at his most direct, in rejecting standard gravitational cosmology. Gravity, he argues, can describe attraction, but not coherence, resonance, structure formation, or the stability of multibody systems. It cannot explain stellar cycles, pulsar timing, orbital spacing, or the cosmic web. Hills replaces gravitational potential with the harmonic operator and its temporal geometry. Stars are temporal wells. Pulsars are deep harmonic limit cycles. Black holes are extreme overshoot states rather than singularities, and galaxies are nested rotational structures. Even the cosmic microwave background is reinterpreted as a boundary layer rather than a relic of expansion. The operator provides a way to model stable modes, collapse, and reemergence without relying on singularity or invisible matter. The cosmic redshift law is one of the clearest examples of the book's method. Instead of expanding space, the model says that emitted and observed light differ because they are generated and received in regions with different temporal rates. This allows the author to claim a harmonic Hubble relation without metric expansion. Likewise, flat galactic rotation curves are explained through temporal gradients, and gravitational lensing is reframed as the behavior of light in the temporal field. The book's logic is always the same. Where classical theory requires added entities like dark matter or dark energy, the harmonic framework says those are symptoms of a missing geometric dimension. Civilization, in the final major human scale section, is treated as another expression of the same operator. Hills argues that culture and history are not separate from physics, but are shaped by the same principles of coherence. Civilizations rise when coherence is cultivated through architecture, ritual, navigation, infrastructure, and social organization. They fall when coherence breaks down. The same geometry that appears in storms and plasmas appears in cathedrals, cities, symbols, and institutions. Human societies, like natural systems, organize around loops, axes, and boundaries. The author suggests that architecture, ritual, and even technological systems are ways of shaping curvature, rotation, and boundary structure in collective life. Human flourishing depends on whether a civilization can maintain harmonic order. Finally, in the annexes and closing synthesis, the book becomes more explicit about its ambitions and limits. It presents falsifiable predictions, measurement methods, and open problems. The author wants the framework tested through radar, photogrammetry, lightning mapping, acoustic signatures, mesospheric imaging, and operator field extraction. He repeatedly frames the theory as predictive and cross-domain, not merely interpretive. At the same time, the annexes acknowledge unresolved issues: completeness proofs, inversion algorithms, boundary detachment transitions, wormhole equivalence, and the global boundary field of the universe remain open. This gives the book a strange double quality. It is both a sweeping manifesto and a technical research program, but it also admits that much remains to be proven. The book ends by returning to its unifying principle, temporal relativity. Time is local. Time is structured. Time is the medium through which all behavior becomes visible. The cosmos is not fragmentary, the author says, but coherent. It is not driven by isolated forces, but shaped by the geometry of its own temporal field. Across atoms, storms, cells, minds, planets, stars, galaxies, and civilizations, the same motifs recur: curvature, rotation, boundary, and rate. The harmonic geometry of existence is an attempt to show that these are not analogies, but expressions of one reality. Whether one accepts the theory or reads it as visionary speculation, the book's inner logic is unmistakable. The world is not a set of disconnected things, but a harmonic order unfolding in time.